Hello, hi everybody, it's Paul here at the War Room. Been a little while since we've managed to get down to a podcast, but the next regular schedule is up and we'll be continuing with a Monday-Friday release of the podcast. And tonight we are recording the Friday podcast. We are off this weekend to Blyth, just north of Newcastle. Going to go and play in the competitions Guns Over the River Blyth. I was lucky enough to go down last year and extremely lucky to have managed to win it last year. But they've changed the format and this year it's going to be a doubles tournament. I'm looking forward to that, 600 points each. I think what I'm most looking forward to is going down and meeting all the guys again. So we've got Ben Rawls, Dom Sora will be there, loads of other guys. And this year, I'm also taking a bit of a posse from here in Scotland. I think we probably have 10 guys travelling down from Scotland to it. So hopefully, one of the Scots will bring back a prize. And of course, there is a GT entry up for grabs at this competition. So I'm sure all of us will be trying hard to get our free entry because we're Scots and we don't like paying for entry if we can help it. So that is going to be fun. So the competition is 600 points each. So 1,200 points against 1,200 points when you put the armies together. And I think you've got to be allied armies, as in two Axis 600 point armies playing against your opponents, or two allied 600 point armies playing against your opponents. Harrison's coming down with me, but he's not playing with me. I'm going to be playing with Brian Forrester from the Dwarf Club, who's coming down with us. I'm not quite sure how all the pairings worked out for the Scots lads. Harrison's playing with one of the guys from England. And Harrison's playing a funny list. Harrison's been working hard on an Austrian list, but it's pre-war Austrian, which is when Austria were neutral. But he's using the Army of Germany's book, but it's going to be an allied list. He has checked he can use this, by the way. So he's playing with a British player. So that might knock a few noses out of joint when they come across it. But he's got some models in. He's worked hard to try and make them as authentic as possible. So they've got the sort of First World War German helmets with the two nuts on the front of the helmet, if you like. I can't remember. Harrison did tell me what they're for and I've forgotten now. I think it's when they're using the machine guns in the First World War. Somehow you attached a steel plate to it that protected the face, and that's what these little bolts in the helmet were for. Anyway, I'm sure we'll bring you some pictures tomorrow. Not tomorrow, it's on Sunday. So we'll have some pictures. If you have a look at the War HQ Facebook page, I'm sure we'll be doing some stuff and maybe doing some live streaming from there. And I'm going to take my tripod down and record some of the games, if that's okay with our opponents. Hopefully we'll catch a little bit of the banter going to and fro. We've been bantering just a little bit on the Blyth Facebook site in the group set up for the Guns Over the River Blyth. So that's been a bit of good fun and I think it sets the tone for a very enjoyable competition. As some of you will know, I'm taking Dutch Army, 10 dice at 600 points, which seems a lot. I'll probably be running one of the highest dice 600 point armies there, probably. I don't know, we'll wait and see when we go down. Somebody shared with me a Desert Force? I think it was a Parachute Force, which is Jeeps, which will be interesting, British Paraforce with the Jeeps. And that must have been getting on for 10 dice anyway. So that'll be interesting. But my army is free regular medium artillery piece as per the special rules. We have three inexperienced infantry units kitted out with LMGs. I'm not really a big fan of LMGs, to be honest, but the models that I bought from May 40 Miniatures, which are excellent models, I have to say, and they're pretty well finished off as well. And the army, I like my army, it's all looking good. But so we've got three 11-man squads with LMG. They're all just kitted out with rifles, and that allows us to take a fourth squad with an LMG. So the squads are full squads and they're over 10. So it gives us the extra roll for failed order rolls, which is could be quite handy. I've also got a medium veteran howitzer, as well as my free howitzer. I have a veteran sniper, veteran anti-tank rifle, veteran medium mortar. All my mortar and howitzers have spotters. I've got a first lieutenant with a chum, they're regular. And I think that's all my dice, that's the 10 dice. The four squads, the three... Yep, that's all my 10 dice. So, we've had a few practice games with it. I must admit, I am struggling to get to grips with the artillery. I will have mastered it, hopefully, in a couple of weeks when I go to LVO, where I think my butt is going to be handed to me. But that's for another podcast. What I generally tend to do so far is I generally keep the inexperienced squads off the table to start with, bring them on as reserve or flanking when I can. Yes, they're only rolling, and well, it's effectively a 7 to come on for the minus 1 for coming on from reserve, but they do get to re-roll it. And generally speaking, I would say 70% of the time with the two rolls, they do come on to the battlefield. So that's not bad. It also means that they're not getting shot up for 6 turns. It possibly gives them a little bit more survivability. And obviously we tend to use cover quite a lot to help stop our troops getting so many guys shot. But when you're rolling to wound, you're rolling on 3s. Inevitably, my squads tend to lose quite a few guys. The first lieutenant's in there to help give them a wee bit of strength for taking those morale checks when they're needed and getting the guys to actually do what they're supposed to do when they've got a pin or two on them. But you've got to be quite careful with inexperienced, as you guys will know. Once you've got two pins on them, it becomes a bit of a coin toss whether they're going to carry out their orders or not. Having the first lieutenant in there just brings that back up and makes it a bit more likely. The three veteran units, the mortar, the sniper and the anti-tank rifle, tend to survive pretty well. They're small units, so its standard is 4s to hit rather than 3s, because they're the 3 plus the minus 1 for being a small unit. They will tend to be in cover, so if it's soft cover, that's making them 5s to hit. And if necessary, we can put them down to make them 7s to hit. So they are awkward units to take off the park, and because they're veteran, not only have you got to hit them, you've got to roll the 5 or the 6 to kill them. If you do kill one of the guys, he's doing a morale check on 9, which they usually are going to pass. And then they sort of go down into hiding to save the dice. And that's worked out pretty well so far. The two guns. The two guns usually get their butts kicked. They're normally on the battlefield to start with. I'm finding it difficult to get the guns in good positions where they're behind cover and they've got a pretty good shot. It makes me wonder if maybe using them as rather expensive heavy mortars might be a better way to go with them, but we'll see. Because I don't have usually very much for people to shoot at, the guns are easier to target than the small teams often. And people don't like being hit by howitzers, so they tend to shoot at those howitzers first. The veteran one has a bit more longevity in it, obviously. They've both got gun shield, which helps. But so far, they've mainly been taken out by HE. But we'll see how it works out at Blythe. There's going to be some interesting mixes, because you've got lots of guys with lots of different ideas. I think there's at least 12 teams, so that's 24 people, because it's doubles. So there's lots of different ideas, and those ideas are coming together, and it's seeing how they play together. I think one of the things we're going to have to watch for is getting all our turns in. Inevitably, even though each player has his own coloured dice, so you're not having that discussion about whether you're going to play the dice for your side on, you know, partner A's army or partner B's army. That argument doesn't come out, because you just pull your own coloured dice, so you're using it. You are still talking tactics between yourselves, I find, in the practice games that we've had at the club. And the games do tend to be a bit longer, so we just need to bear that in mind, that there might be some sort of 5-turn games, maybe even 4-turn games in the time allowed. So we've got to take that into account. We're playing 3 scenarios. The first scenario is something or other. What was it? Let's have a look. I don't know if this is the order the scenarios will be played in, but the first one is key position. So that's the one where you roll D3 plus 2 objectives and then choose sides. So I think it'll be quite important for that, to make sure we choose the right side of the table. Sorry, I'm playing with Brian. I should have told you what Brian's playing with. He's taking a French army. He's taking 5 of the little small tanks, I think are about 45 points veteran, and they've got an MMG in them and a little turret. They are pitifully slow, but they're very cost effective. So it's an armoured platoon that he's taking. He's also taking the free medium mortar, so we'll have 3 mortars between us, 2 regular and free, and 1 veteran and paid for. And he has to take his with a small tractor, because he's an armoured platoon, and he's also coming with 2 big squads of cavalry. I think they're 11 man squads of cavalry. They're veteran, so Brian's running 9 dice, so we've got 19 dice between us, which is a really pretty reasonable number for a 1200 point army. So as I said, the first scenario is going to be key positions. Second scenario, I think, is maybe one from the Australian guys, one called Crossfire. 5 objectives, 1 in the middle, 4 towards the 4 corners, so forming a cross on the diagonals, a St. Andrew's cross, and then you set up your army in your diagonal half of the table. So you've got a long and a short diamond. It's not a diamond, it's a triangle to set up in, if you can imagine that. The opponent's setting up in the other half, and you keep so many of your troops in reserve, controlling up the end. And then we have no man's land, which is straightforward, shoot 'em up with dice. It's difficult to know how I think we're going to do. I think we could do all right, because we've got a reasonable amount of troops. We've got some strong troops, some weaker troops. Oh, but predictions. I think if we win 2 out of 3, we'll be doing well. We should win 1 of key positions or crossfire. It might be difficult to win both of them. I think we'll be struggling for no man's land, which is the one where you're trying to take dice off. We have almost no anti-tank as such, apart from howitzers putting pins on anti-tank. And how we'll get on with taking dice off other teams is going to be interesting to predict. It's a 50-50 on No Man's Land. As you know, depends who you come up with on the day. So we'll see, but it's going to be an awful lot of fun. So really looking forward to that. We're all travelling down early in the morning, going with Graham Hart in his car. It'll be myself, Harrison and Brian. So no doubt be a bit of banter on the way down. I think Harrison is working the night before, so he's probably going to be sleeping most of the way, probably there and back. So good luck with that. What else about going down? I would just like to say, Blythe War Games Club, I think they were having one or two struggles at the beginning of last year with the club itself, but they seem to have come back stronger and better, and that's really, really nice to see. As I said before, we're looking forward to going down to the to see the guys. This time they're running it in a different venue. Hopefully it will be warm, because it's a bit snowy and windy. Not as bad as some of the country have got it, but still nevertheless a bit chilly. But they said they're going to put the heating on for us, from us boys from the north, us softies. And they're putting on food, so that's looking good. We've got several things going on ourselves at the moment. Some of the downtime from the podcasting has been put into arranging the World Team Championships. That's for Bolt Action, which are happening in Poznan in Poland this year in May. I'm one of the organisers for that, and we've invested a fair bit of time, and we have got quite a lot of scenery to do, quite a lot of transport to organise, hotels to organise. It's quite an undertaking. But it's all starting to come together, and we've got free GT tickets for the winners of that. And we've also just released the first of four main events for the British Bolt Action League, which I'm organising with Dave Nolan, the main organiser of the World Team Championships. The first of those is going to be held and supported by Warlord Games, so a wee shout out to Simon and the rest of the guys at Warlord who are helping us with that. If you're interested in a competitive and yet gentlemanly league, we're running four main events. First, as I say, down at Nottingham at Warlord HQ. That is going to be at the start of, or is it middle of, in the middle of March. We have another event much later on in the year. In September is in Scotland and Stirling, and I think it's round about June. We have an event at Manchester, and we're currently looking into a fourth event to make that the four main events of the British Bolt Action League. There will be big prizes for the winners of the league. You get league points by taking part in those competitions. We're hoping to have one or two other events affiliate to us, so you can get points at those events. I'm sure there'll be at least another event in Scotland that will be affiliated. We're working on bringing one or two events down in England on as affiliated events. If it's something you might be interested in, the idea with it really is to appeal to competitive players. But most competitive players in Bolt Action are gentlemanly. And that's really just so that people know when they're coming to our event, they're not all going to be historically based armies. But those armies are welcome. And just understand you will be going up potentially against armies which are not historically themed or based necessarily. But everybody's welcome. They're going to get points throughout the year. And at each of those events, there will be a free GT entry to the Warlord GT. And there will be prizes for each competition. And there will be main prizes for the actual league winners at the end of the year. So we're looking forward to that. See some of the old faces. hopefully see a lot of new faces. And as I say, the idea with that is A, to promote Bolt Action as a competitive game, as well as a historical and, you know, the fun side of it, and also to help attract more players to larger events. Hopefully we will get more than just Cambridge Too Far having 100 players in an event. Be nice to see us maybe in a couple of years having regular Bolt Action events, you know, maybe 4 or 5 a year, which are attracting 100 players each. I think Bolt Action slowly growing at the moment. But those are just a few of the things we've been working on. This has gone on now past 20 minutes, so I'm going to leave it here. The next podcast will be up on Monday, and it will be partly bringing you the results at Guns Over the River Blythe, and maybe one or two tidbits from the guys we meet there. So follow us on Facebook at The War HQ. There'll be lots of little things there for you to look at, and we'll come back and talk to you again on Monday. Mahalo for now, everybody. So, you listen to the show. Now it's time to visit thewarhq.co.uk for all your Bolt Action needs. And remember to use the code POD21, that's POD21, to get 20% off and free postage and packaging. See you in the next show.